record for this. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us again for another episode of the Snyder County Coalition for Kids podcast. It's a series of presentations with different community folks. And today we are focusing on services and programs for families, because that's what the Coalition for Kids does. We support kids and their families. And I'm very excited to hear to have a couple folks from the Community Action Agency that serves both Union and Snyder County. And I wanted to introduce the Executive Director, Sue Allman, and the Operations Director, Kim Amsler. Thanks for joining us today.
Happy to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Absolutely. Well, let me kick it over to you guys and maybe give a short introduction about yourselves and let us know what does Community Action Agency do for kids and families?
Love to. So as you said, I'm Sue Allman. I'm the Executive Director of Union Snyder Community Action Agency. And I am so happy to have this opportunity to share more about who we are and what we do. We do not like being kept a secret. We love to make sure that people know who we are, what we're up to, so that we can continue to help support families in the community who may need a helping hand. So our agency, our true underlying mission of everything that we do is to reduce poverty in Snyder and Union counties. We work in collaboration with our community partners and in providing self-sufficiency programs and services to help people thrive so that they never need to come back and get help from us again. That's the ultimate goal. So we work with folks to overcome the barriers to self-sufficiency that are caused by factors related to poverty. It can include a number of different things, and we'll probably get into that a little bit more as we go along, but I'll just pause and let Kim give a chance to introduce herself.
Yeah, absolutely. As they said, I'm Kim Amsler. I am the Director of Operations here at Union Snyder Community Action Agency. Sue shared a little bit about our mission. I work day to day with our program staff, our program directors, our case managers, and our service navigators to ensure that we are providing excellent customer service to all members of our community, whether they are the community partners that Sue mentioned or the individuals that are reaching out to us for services. And like Sue, I'm really excited to be here to talk to everyone. I think our services have always been a really important part of Union and Snyder counties. We as an agency have been around for over 40 years. But I think our programs and services now, in recovering from this pandemic and continuing to work through it, are more important now than they've ever been before. So we're very excited to be here to talk to you today.
Well, thank you, guys. And for anyone who's interested right off the bat, I'll share the website address for y'all. It's union-snydercaa.org. And on that website, there's links to all the different areas and spaces you guys are working in: energy, housing, transportation, food, taxes, veterans affairs, adult education. And I'm sure that's just a small part of what y'all are working on. But I want to bring it back again to our focus today, which are programs and services for families. And I know you guys know from our friend Dr. Bruno and others talking about ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences, and that poverty is one of those ACEs that can actually create an environment that brings bad things to kids and their families, whether it's delinquency or health issues or involvement in the criminal justice system. There's all sorts of things there. So let me turn it back to you guys for a bit to talk about, given your mission of reducing poverty and its effects, what types of programs and services are you offering for families in Snyder and Union counties?
I thank you so much for introducing our website right off the bat. I will be honest and say that I actually pulled up our website this morning to make sure that I was reorienting myself to every single thing that we are offering. We do offer a lot for families. And I'm also very grateful that you brought up that poverty is one of the ACEs, the adverse childhood experiences that can really affect people being able to thrive. It gets right to the heart of the matter of who we are, what we do, and why we're here at CAA. So, boy, you couldn't have tipped it off better right from the start. So the overarching support for the community through Community Action Agency, and this is really an important thing to lift up, it's our service navigation. So service navigation is both a philosophy of our organization, and it's also a service of our organization. What we find is that just having somebody by your side, whether it be through emails, phone call, in person, whatever, to help you navigate what is available when you're a person who is struggling with issues related to, like, things that affect people who are living in poverty, that is something that we have really highlighted over the past 3 years. We have really made a shift so that we think about it as a service navigation philosophy through the whole organization. And then our service navigators and our staff help direct people to what programs and services are available. So we help people navigate the programs and services that are available both through our agency and through the many, many community partners that are here to help people. Because we're not the only folks, as you well know, that are here to help people who are living with low income. Many others do as well. And we want to make sure that we're helping knit all of that together for people who are looking for support and eliminating what's known as silos. I think people who might be listening to this podcast may be familiar with that term. We work really hard to eliminate silos and make sure that we stitch everything together to provide support, eliminating some of the barriers. So we are all about trying to address the causes and the symptoms of poverty that really has such a traumatic effect on people. I know trauma is kind of a buzzword, but it's really applicable because people who are living in poverty, and I'll kind of put a pin in this one, and we'll talk about it a little bit later when we talk about facts about poverty, but it really does have an impact on how people make decisions in their lives. People who are struggling to make ends meet or who are living below the self-sufficiency threshold is sort of a term we use in community action, but really just not having enough money to get by, are living in a state of stress, and it affects decision-making. So with that kind of is like the 30,000 foot view of the topic. And I'm actually going to kick it over to Kim now to talk a little bit more about the details of the programs and the services that we offer, and especially during this pandemic, because that really changed a lot about what we are providing for people. And nobody knows that better than the people who are doing the direct service in our agency, our service navigators and case managers. But Kim helps oversee our operations to make sure that we're doing a good job of delivering that. So she's the perfect person to talk more about the details.
All right, over to you, Kim.
That's quite a setup there, but thank you.
No pressure.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about our programs and services, but I think, you know, I'm talking specifically about the programs and services that are offered here at the Community Action Agency and the ones that we provide in-house. And I often refer to, you know, our four walls or our building, the services that we are physically working with people to support. And a lot of what I think Community Action is known for at this point is our housing programs. We have both traditional housing programs that assist individuals that may be facing homelessness or at risk of homelessness. But we also, of course, throughout the pandemic have been appointed the agency to work basically with the crisis response to housing as well. And so one of the reasons why that is so important is we're working through the traditional means with housing, but we're also working on the crisis response. And where our community partners become really important in that work is that we are able to provide services that will help people who found themselves in a bad position due to COVID. We're able to support them in rental assistance and getting them caught back up. But the fact is we're still, in many cases, dealing with the pandemic, the effects of COVID-19. And we have a lot of families out there who come to us and they need assistance, and we're able to help with the crisis mitigation, but sometimes working with partner agencies like the housing authorities and or the county assistance offices and those agencies who we partner really closely with for individuals to apply for services, whether it's a housing voucher or SNAP for food benefits, it helps them to make a sustainable plan to ensure that even though we were able to get them out of the crisis that they were in, but to help them to make a plan moving forward to continue to be successful as they are working through the recovery and planning for their future. And so it's a really important part of what we do in recovery from the crisis situation, but then what is the plan moving forward and how do you work with us maybe or our partner agencies to ensure that you are moving forward in a positive direction for yourself and your family. And so that's something that we continue to look at as we do case management and service navigation throughout the area. And Mike did an excellent job at the beginning of kind of naming the other services we have. It's really easy to explain it through the housing lens, but it's really true for all of our programs and services. In the energy work we do, that we have partner agencies that we work with for that. For clothing, we work really closely with community aid for individuals that need specific clothing to go to work or anything like that. And so we're able to do referrals regularly to agency partners as well to make sure that, as Sue said, the entire person is being supported at the time when they come to us.
So you mentioned about your agency's role trying to break down silos. And of course, we know each other through several different groups where we've broken down silos. And one of them is, of course, through the Coalition for Kids. One of our tent poles is our food programs, the Meals for Seals programs and the Meals for Mustangs program. And I know you guys have a food resource calendar and a hub program. Do you want to talk briefly about what the role that Community Action Agency has in coordinating those programs?
Sure. I'll take the top level and then Kim can give a few more details. We won't get too far in the weeds, but basically we, as a community action agency, we are the organization that helps financially support 4 food pantries in the area. So strategically located in different parts of both Union and Snyder County. In addition, we have a kind of an innovative, newish program called the Union County Food Hub, and also a Hunger Coalition, because there are so many organizations and things that have been rolled out by folks who really care a lot about making sure that people are fed nutritiously. So the Hunger Coalition helped bring that together on a regional basis to make sure that, again, we're breaking down silos. The Union County Food Hub acts as a distribution center, so that really prioritizing accessible, fresh and nutritious foods, and also really trying to get at what people might have heard of, which is the social determinants of health that really affect people who, if you're hungry, if you're not eating food that has high nutritional value, it has so many different effects on your health and your well-being. So the Union County Food Hub is a really cool, innovative way that we can try to help make sure that we're looking at that on a regional basis and getting fresh food distributed to all different places in both Union and Snyder counties to serve that need. And I'll kind of let Kim talk a little bit more about our food pantries. They're thriving volunteer run food pantries. I'll kick that over to you, Kim.
Yeah, I mean, we are incredibly lucky to work with the volunteers that we work with for our food pantries. We have 4 food pantries that we support that our food coordinator works very closely with. But it really is, I mean, it speaks to the heart and soul of each food pantry and the fact that we have volunteers, not just the coordinators at the food pantries, but volunteers that show up month after month to continue to make sure that the individuals in Union and Snyder counties get the food that they need that is available at the time of the pantries. And so we couldn't do what we do without the help and support of those volunteers. And we not only promote our food pantries through the calendar that you referenced earlier, the food resource calendar, but we promote all food programs that we are aware of. So I know we mentioned some of the Coalition for Kids programs. If there are dates that are available where there are pickups, we will put that on the calendar. But really, that food resource calendar is really available to help people to know if they need food on a given day or given time, which program and agency is the best program and agency for them to go to or to reach out to ensure that they are receiving the support they need at that time. In addition, though, to the calendar, we do recognize our food program. Not everything happens on a schedule. And so we do have an emergency food delivery program as well that will support people that are in a place where they, you know, they might find themselves literally out of food, or facing a weekend where they don't know how, you know, their families, their kids will eat. And we do have emergency food that is available that we are able to provide throughout the week in kind of those times to fill in the gaps where there might be, where there might not be a program that is offering food assistance at that time.
That's awesome. I'm looking at the resource calendar now, and I'm looking at February, and literally 5 days a week, every single day in February, there's at least one food opportunity, whether it's at the MAC or Grace Works or in Mazeppa or New Berlin, Victory Baptist Church. Just an incredible array of coordination with all those good folks in the community volunteering to make sure our friends and neighbors aren't hungry. I know within the Coalition for Kids, we talk about the fact that, you know, if it's pretty hard to fill a kid's head in school if their bellies are empty, you know. And really appreciate all the work you're doing there. Also want to let folks know that there's a resource map and there's four maps: Western Union County, Eastern Union County, Eastern Snyder, with pinpointing resources in different spaces: housing, health, wellness, education, childcare, employment, legal services, financial assistance, technology, food assistance, as we talked about. So really coordinating and breaking down those silos. Sue, I know through our work with the Opioid Coalition, what a passionate advocate you are for housing assistance. So I want to go back to you and ask you specifically about the ERAP program, the Emergency Rental mm-hmm. Assistance Program. Could you talk about that?
Absolutely. I'm just going to look at my notes here to tee that up. So basically, Union and Snyder counties, and all counties in Pennsylvania for that matter, offer financial assistance to residents with unpaid rent or utility bills due to the impacts of COVID-19. And I should add, other, like, utilities means it's not just your energy bill. I actually am gonna kick it over to Kim because she has been living and breathing the ERAP program soup to nuts. So she's gonna tell you a little bit more about the details and what people need to know. Before I do that, I'm just going to throw one thing out there, which is one thing that we have learned is the biggest barrier to people actually receiving support through the ERAP program, which is a COVID-19 related program. It was rolled out because of the pandemic. Many people don't think about themselves as a person who receives help in that way. They may have been COVID affected. They may be eligible for the ERAP program, but they don't think of it for themselves. I think that's for somebody else. That's for other people that get help. But the biggest barrier is people not thinking, oh, wow, I've been affected. I'm behind on my rent and struggling. I could be qualified for that. People don't see themselves in that way, or they feel, you know, like they it's hard to ask for help sometimes. So we really encourage people to open their minds to just looking into it. And I think this is a great opportunity for Kim to kind of dig into what do people need to know about the ERAP program? What is it and who might apply for it?
Yeah, absolutely. As Sue said, I do live and breathe this program at this point. And we are very fortunate in that we are serving a ton of individuals. And we serve Union and Snyder County for this program, and we work really closely with our program partners across the state to deliver this program. But we have the opportunity to provide rental assistance, which can include rental arrears back to 12 months. So someone that was impacted by the pandemic that has struggled for up to 12 months, we're able to provide assistance through the ERAP program. We can actually provide future rent if there's a situation where where individuals know that they will have a financial difficulty in paying their future rent. We're able to provide that as part of the ERAP program. And then we actually are able to provide utility and home energy costs. And it's also worded as other costs related to housing. And so that can include things that people don't often think about as or getting assistance with, but that could include water and sewer payments. That could include trash removal, and in some instances, even internet if it was needed when schools closed, virtual learning and that kind of thing. So we are able to offer expanded services through the ERAP program beyond what a lot of the traditional programs offer to assist people in recovering from the pandemic. And really, I think the thing that people need to know most about the ERAP program is that the arrears can go the whole way back to March 13th, 2020. And so if someone missed, you know, lost work at a period of time back in 2020 and missed their rent payments, but then went back to work, they still would qualify for the ERAP program now. We have a lot of people that say, you know, I missed work back in April of 2020 due to quarantining, and I've never caught up. And so we are able to assist them, even if they're back to work, even if they're working now, we're able to assist them currently to make sure that they do get caught back up from that situation. We actually have two different programs now. It's called ERAP 1 and ERAP 2, really creative in our naming. But the ERA 2 program does allow us to actually even serve more individuals than the ERA 1 program does. So anyone who, you know, Sue referenced that some individuals didn't think that they would even qualify to reach out to us for these programs. But even some of the people that didn't qualify early on with the ERAP 1 program might qualify with ERAP 2 now. And really the distinction is with ERAP 1, people had to be affected with loss of income, loss of employment, or increased expenses due directly or indirectly to COVID-19. And now the ERA 2 program allows us to expand that coverage. So it's not just people that were affected directly by COVID-19, it's people that were impacted financially during the period of time where we've been dealing with the pandemic. So it opens up eligibility to a lot more people across the board and specifically right here in Union and Snyder counties.
Maybe you could talk to how do families reach out and find out whether they're eligible? And if they are, how do they access? Like, is there paperwork? Do they fill something out online? Do you have navigators to help?
Yes, to all of those things. It's on our website, which we've already talked about. There is a specific emergency rental assistance program page that you can go to that you can check eligibility. Applications are accepted through Compass, which is the state website that accepts a lot of applications for other human services agencies. And then, of course, you could always call us. It's 570-374-0181 and talk to one of our service navigators. Or we have a very special ERAP email address because we get a lot of questions about it. And it is just erap@union-snydercaa.org.
I want to add too, we actually have the application downloadable on our website in multiple languages that was provided right up front. So we have them, and our very front page of our website is kind of dedicated to ERAP right now because so many people are able to receive that help and need that help. This program, these programs, because now there's ERAP too, you know, if y'all remember, folks probably remember hearing in the news that people were really struggling at the beginning of the pandemic. It seems like a long time ago, but it was not that long ago when everything shut down. And then that continued and people have been impacted by restrictions and shutdowns. And so the funding that came to this was dedicated specifically to try to get to the people, just the regular folks like you and me. This is a way that they said, we really want to try to find a way to help people directly who are really struggling because they were affected by the shutdown and the restrictions, et cetera, and things that were happening in the economy. So that decision was made at the federal government and it flowed down very quickly to the Commonwealth of PA and then to the counties and to agencies like ours. Every county in Pennsylvania and similarly across the nation is rolling out these funds for this very purpose. This funding is designed to help with exactly what we're doing. So, you know, it's really by design as a response to the pandemic, and we're just here to help facilitate getting those bills paid so that people can keep a roof over their head, keep the power on, not be cold in the winter, keep the internet on so that children can be e-learning, like days like today when the schools are all closed down, that people can do e-learning. This is funding that is designed to go directly to the people, and we're just helping make that happen.
Well, let me ask you guys a different question then. And sure. When back in November, I went to Portland for a conference, and I got to tell you, there are tents up and down the sidewalks in Portland. The housing issues, the underhousing issues, the poverty issues are just on display. It's unavoidable. You see it. Sometimes I get the sense in this area, because we don't see tents, we don't see homeless people around the community, like maybe we see on the news or when we visit bigger cities. There might be a sense that poverty is something that happens in other areas. Maybe you could talk about some of the facts and some of the myths involving poverty here.
Absolutely. Our homelessness and housing insecurity looks different in our rural Pennsylvania area than it does in Portland. I've spent a fair amount of time in Portland myself, being from Portland originally. And so I know exactly what you mean. You look out the window of my mother's apartment and there are tents and caravans, and it looks very different. You know, that's not the experience that we have in Snyder County or in Union County. There is what's known as a hidden homelessness problem here in our counties. And so that looks like folks sleeping in cars, doubling up with a friend or family member, what's known as couch surfing, kind of floating between houses where they can find a place to stay. Sometimes it's living in places like a campsite that is intended to be closed for the winter, but people stay there anyway. It can look a lot of different ways. It just looks different here. So that's one thing I would say just right off the bat. We do talk about the myths about poverty, because there are a lot of myths and misconceptions about poverty. And I think that's one of them. It just looks a little bit different. It doesn't mean that it isn't happening here.
Kim, if there was one, oh, I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead.
Kim, I don't know if you wanted to add to that, but I'd also ask you, if there's one thing that you think people don't know about Community Action Agency, what would you want them to know?
Wow, that's a rough question. Just one thing.
Softballs. This is a hard-hitting podcast.
I think if there is one thing that I would say specifically right now is, if you don't know if you qualify for services, we are available to answer that question. The thing that we are trying to do the most right now is educate people, to let them know of what programs and services that are available to them, and make sure that people do understand all of the inner workings of all of the recovery efforts that we do have available. And so I think, you know, sometimes people will be hesitant to call and ask questions and ask for help, because a lot of people that need help right now are people that have never needed help in the past. And some of the programs that we have that are available right now have higher income guidelines than what have been available in the past. And so I think there's probably a group of people that are sitting out there right now going, I could really use help, but I don't think I qualify, or that's not for me. And I would encourage them to send the email, check the website, or pick up the phone and call us, because there's a good chance that if you're struggling and you're one of those working families who have been struggling to make ends meet for a while, we can help you to navigate some recovery from what you've been going through. And so I think we're here to help, maybe, is the answer. That should have been the short answer to you.
Short answer.
That was a really good long answer. And can I tell you one thing that I love about that answer is that you really just embodied service navigation as a philosophy. You know, we talk about it as a service because we have service navigators, but Kim just kind of displayed her answer is really like our approach. If you think you might need help, call us and find out. Don't hesitate. We're here to help you figure that out. That service navigation philosophy right there. We also do a pretty good job of laying out some of the income guidelines for the ERAP program on our website. So that's another place people can look to. But it never hurts to just email if you feel shy about it, or call if you don't feel shy, or even if you do, and then somebody can just walk you through what does that look like. I'll just add that there are guidelines for our programs. You know, our mission is to serve people who live with low income. So it is true that we have guidelines, and there are often documents that you need to provide in order to show your eligibility. So that is true. And I want to just throw in there really quickly that other folks who listeners of the podcast might not know that we also serve veterans. We are the home of Snyder County Veterans Affairs, and we also have a grant that crosses boundaries between Union and Snyder County. So we have some programs, especially for folks who are struggling with housing for both counties, for veterans that are specifically designated for that. And we have our VITA program, which I'll let Kim give a little plug for, because we just opened up our VITA season, and that has to do with taxes. But we also have a very long-standing, very fine AmeriCorps program. And the AmeriCorps program helps us accomplish our mission, because we have AmeriCorps members at 501c3 nonprofits throughout the area who are there to help our nonprofit community partners fulfill their mission. So it really creates that ripple effect out in the community. So Kim, I know you're going to want to share a little bit about VITA, because that's a great program.
It is a great program, and so timely. We did just start doing taxes for individuals earlier this week, so we are right in tax season. But VITA actually stands for the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. It offers free tax prep for low and moderate income individuals. If a household income is under $58,000, they can qualify to have their income taxes done for free by professionally trained volunteers who are certified by the IRS to help them with their taxes. And so we are scheduling appointments now. And you need to be a resident of Union or Snyder County for our services. But this, again, is another one of those programs that does happen in other communities across Pennsylvania. And again, it's right back to our phone number, who you call to receive services. So 570-374-0181.
Awesome. And the website, again, for everybody, is union-snydercaa.org. I want to thank you both for being here today. So helpful to get the news out. I think it's a secret gem that people don't know the extent of what you all do down there at Community Action Agency. Folks, if you're watching this, appreciate it, whether it's on YouTube or on our podcast channel through Podbean. We want to thank you and tune in next time. Always looking for ideas for the speaker series and our podcast series. So please check out our Facebook page and send us a message, send us some feedback. We are always eager to hear what you folks think and get some ideas for topics and speakers. Till next time, thanks everybody.